And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Mech and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Mech.
And I'm the Philly Hump.
Sorry about that, folks. We once again had a little bit of difficulty with Block Talk. Sorry about that. But alas, we are here and we are live. And yeah, everyone can all calm down now, so.
I know. People were panicking. The Philadelphia area was in a panic wondering where the Philly Mech and Hump Show was.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So yeah. I'm actually trying something a little new today. I thought it'd be a good idea to maybe start videotaping and doing kind of like a video episode.
Okay.
Obviously, along with our normal on-air episode. I don't know. Just figuring what the hell.
Yeah, why not? I don't have all that set up. I can't do that.
I was going to say that. I just kind of wanted to test it out and see how it even worked. So, see if it was even worth it. And then next episode, I'm sure we could both do it, and then I could take the both videos, put them side by side, and then dub in the audio.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Sounds good. Yeah, all right. Got it.
Best color man in the league.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, so it is 2 days left into August. We're almost into the month to where actual football starts.
Football starts next month.
All right. So speaking of, what we have, we had an exciting third game versus the Packers, who destroyed us last year in the regular season. Obviously without Aaron Rodgers and the newly injured Jordy Nelson. But the defense was pretty much intact, and Sam Bradford lit him up for 25 points. Obviously should have been more like 28.
With the two failed two-point conversions there, can we give up on the talk that, ooh, we're going to have 10 people that are run two-point conversions at the end of the game? Can we stop that now?
No.
They weren't even close. It wasn't like he almost got in or it was like a drop pass. The play worked. The play did not work. Neither play worked at all.
He was only 2 yards away each time.
That's all you lined up for him.
I mean, listen, you're just getting into particulars here. No, listen, I find it hilarious. I would love it if Tebow made this team.
I never thought I'd hear those words come out of your mouth.
I'm not saying Brett Favre.
Your hatred for Tim Tebow was almost right there with Brett Favre.
No, I don't know about that, but I think maybe it's because I feel sad for him. Maybe it's I don't know what it is, but it's,
maybe I feel
it's just
differently
funny.
If he's on another team. I don't want that to
I
be
probably
on my
would.
Team.
I probably would, and I find the whole thing really funny. And I find it the fact that why do people even give a crap? It's the third quarterback spot. We should never, ever have Matt Barkley play in a real meaningful game ever. Unless we are 15-0 and it's the 16th game and it's the fourth quarter and we're up by 30 points. Sure, Matt Barkley, go right ahead. You're in. But unless that's happening, I don't want to see the third-string quarterback. Now, that being said, Tim Tebow does have abilities elsewhere. He may not be the best quarterback. He may not be the best runner. But what he is a different look to a defense And again, it's just another way of messing with defenses' heads about what's possible, all the millions of possibilities that an offense can do. You throw Tim Tebow in there, say even with Bradford, have him line up at H-back with Murray on the other side. What the heck? How do you defend against that? You're like, what is possibly going to happen here? Even if he's a decoy for 90% of his plays, I'd still rather have that decoy than Matt Barkley sitting there holding the clipboard. That's just me. I feel like he can be more serviceable than a third-string bum that's never going to see the field. Plain and simple. That's the way I look at it.
Well, I think you and I are going to come down definitely on this. Absolutely.
You feel he's less valuable than somebody who's never ever going to play?
He can't throw. The guy can't throw. He can barely run. I mean, people go crazy about his running ability. The guy is really not that fast. Okay, he's a little strong, but when he goes to take on NFL linebackers, I mean, he's going to get blown up. Look, he had a couple of lucky games, and I can't believe people go this crazy over the guy getting one playoff win. Not a Super Bowl. If he had won a Super Bowl, I'd understand why people would go crazy. Why isn't this guy given a chance? He had a really good defense in Denver that helped him win a playoff game and then get his doors blown off by Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. And then the guy has not been able to make an NFL roster. If he was so good and could help out in so many different ways, how come he's been off a roster for the last 2 years? I don't feel like he adds anything. I feel like it only takes away. He creates a circus wherever he goes. Now, I don't think that's intentional.
How does he take away?
He takes away because you don't have – look, if you have three quarterbacks, I know you don't want to get to the third quarterback, but if for whatever reason bad things happen and we end up with a third quarterback, I'd like my third quarterback to be able to throw the football.
Okay, so you don't think that – God forbid Bradford and God forbid Sanchez go down. And let's just say Tim Tebow is that third string quarterback. You don't think they're going to go out and sign somebody to actually play quarterback?
Well, I'd like that guy to have already been on a roster and know the playbook and know the whole. If you want to downplay that, there's a lot of importance to being able to be in there, know the terminology, know the playbook. Ask Josh Freeman. Signs a contract 10 days later, they put him in a game, set a record for most incompletions in one game, and has not been the same since. So there is something to having a quarterback in your system and knowing your terminology, knowing the receivers for more than just a week or a handful of days, and then you throw him out there and say, okay, now you're our quarterback. So no, I don't think that signing somebody off the streets, if both of those guys were to get hurt, would solve the problem. You still have to count on Tim Tebow to be your starting quarterback then.
But again, if we're in that situation, if those two are hurt, are we really doing anything this year? Should it be this year? I mean, if those two get hurt, we're obviously not making the playoffs. So why not throw Tim Tebow in there? Make some money. Get you know what? And even if he does a terrible job, oh, well, better draft picks for us.
Okay, I know that we're sort of between the Sixers and the Phillies. We've been in sort of a tank mode type situation, but I'd really like to not see that for my football team.
Okay, but all right, let's say, knock on wood, let's say Bradford's hurt in the, third game of the year. Let's say we're 2-1 at that point. Sanchez comes in, does what Sanchez does, and is mediocre. Say he gets hurt, four games later he goes 2-2. We're 4-3. All right, not that great, but we're down to a third string quarterback. And say even if Matt Barkley goes in, do you really think Matt Barkley is going to be able to win 6 games out of the remaining 9? No.
No,
not
I agree with that. But do you really think Tim Tebow's doing any of that?
No. I don't think Tim Tebow's doing that either. I don't think anybody's doing it.
Who would you feel more comfortable running your offense in that situation?
What was that?
of the two, who would you feel more comfortable running your offense back there?
Is it about comfortable or who I want to sit?
I'm saying, who do you think would get the job done better?
I don't think anybody gets the job done.
That's fine.
I don't think anybody gets the job done. Everybody fails.
You can't take that approach. As a coach, you cannot take that approach that if both my quarterbacks go down, we're done.
Well, I'm not a coach. I'm not the coach. So my opinion is, let's throw Tebow out there. He's at least fun. He's exciting. People come out and see him in drones. Why not? Sell some jerseys. Make some money. You know, at that point, season's over. If we lose two of our quarterbacks, season's over.
I can't get on board with.
So let's not.
Well, look, your coach
let's not
is
finish 7-9 when we. What would you rather do? Have two of our quarterbacks hurt and finish 7-9, 8-8? Or two of our quarterbacks get hurt and maybe we finish 6-10?
So now your approach is you want the guy who's the lesser of the two so we can get a better draft pick if both of those guys get hurt?
I'm not saying necessarily the lesser.
Well, that's kind of your approach because you're saying if he's in there, you're not going to win as many games as you would with Matt Barkley.
Yeah, I don't know that, though. I'm just saying, for you, what you think of Tim Tebow, you are going to assume that he's going to lose more games. Yes, Matt Barkley is more of a traditional passer. Yes, Matt Barkley could probably do halfway decent job. What I am saying is, obviously, if that should ever come and we're ever using a third-string quarterback, season's over regardless. What I am saying is, everyone healthy, third-string quarterback's just sitting there doing diddly, not doing a darn thing. So why not actually have a player on the 53-man roster that you could use in situations?
Again, if you're going to do that, you're going to have, in order for him to be there to run, like, are you talking about having him active every Sunday so that he could run your two-point conversions, or are you just talking about listing him as the third-string quarterback and having him active?
No, I would assume he'd be active.
Well, then you're taking away another roster spot from a special teams guy or an extra offensive lineman, an extra wide receiver.
I'm okay with that.
Well, that's you. I'm not.
Again, the extra offensive lineman that's probably not going to play that day.
Oh, really?
Because
offensive linemen always stay healthy. They never get hurt.
You could say that about everybody. Everybody gets hurt.
Everybody
gets hurt.
Go down last year.
You can say that about any position, though. Every position, people get hurt. Kickers, punters, quarterbacks, wide receivers.
That position, which is why you only activate two quarterbacks on any Sunday.
I understand that. How many times have two quarterbacks gotten hurt in one game? It happens, right? What I'm saying is you can't play based on, oh, God, I hope people don't get hurt. We better have everybody here, so blah, 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 blah.
Well, you want a full roster.
I understand.
No,
but what I'm saying
my
is the roster spot that Tim Tebow.
The situation if people get hurt.
I understand that. But the roster spot that Tim Tebow is going to take is not going to be anybody of any importance.
I disagree.
The 53rd person on the damn roster does nothing. He probably doesn't even see the game.
And he gets to see the game. He hangs out there.
Oh, he definitely sees the game.
Actually, I think
he has the best seat in the house.
Was 46 for a game.
Well, yeah, it's 46. But yes, that 46th person probably doesn't get on the field.
Ideally, you'd like him not to, but it depends on whose roster spot.
And probably doesn't get on the field 90% of the time.
Ideally, but you can't live in an ideal world where all you're doing is
and you can't
well,
you can't live in a world where you're scared. You can't live in a world where you're scared of people getting hurt.
I'm not scared of being smart. I want to be prepared.
Hold on.
Prepare the team to succeed. This is put the team in the best position, and I feel like you feel like Tim Tebow put you in a better situation. I disagree. This is where we're starting to come down.
What I'm saying is. Let's say this 46th person It's some big, fat offensive lineman, right?
I like big, fat offensive linemen. They usually block good.
Well, this is not always.
Oh, except for Winston Justice, but...
Well, I would say Danny Fireman didn't really do much.
Is he Canadian fireman again now? He came in, got his college education, you know, got one NFL contract, got paid millions, and now gets to go be a fireman for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
That was a smart business plan there from Danny Watkins.
It was. But what I'm saying is, say we have a fat offensive lineman sitting there at the 46th.
Okay.
And let's say a running back gets hurt.
Okay.
If your running back gets hurt, your wide receiver gets hurt, your linebacker gets hurt, if it's not his position, he's still sitting on the sideline. Just saying.
Yeah, but you can't predict
play the
which
numbers
position
game.
Is going. I know, you can't predict which position that you're going to see. You know inevitably. And it's just the laws of football. Whoever's roster spot he takes, that position will be the position where all of a sudden we suffer a rash of injuries. I'm just saying. You know that's just...
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't like to think that dark. But let's also not say and assume that the 46th person right there is the next man up. He's certainly not. He's probably the third man up.
Ideally, yeah, you'd like that to be that way.
But then so again, what you're
good.
Saying
well,
is,
what if
unless,
you're in a situation
unless,
where
unless
your
game,
starter was already
two
hurt,
to three people
the
get hurt,
backup gets hurt.
I'm just saying. Well, like you can say that about the quarterback. What if all three people? What if say even if you have Barkley on the roster and you have Tebow, what's to say that all three of them couldn't get hurt in the game? Anything's possible. What I'm saying.
Sure, that's when you line up with DeMarco Murray directly behind under center, and you
run
the wishbone or something.
Yeah. Well, what all I'm saying is, Tim Tebow. I listen. I'm not his hugest fan. I don't know how I got on this side. I just find it very entertaining. I find the whole thing with him, how this mediocre player has such a following.
I'd really love for us to have a caller to call in and explain to me why he has such a big following. I mean, there are other quarterbacks out there struggling to try and get into the league. How come Jamarcus Russell doesn't have any kind of following?
He's 300 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, but he had an NFL arm.
Sure. I mean, it probably doesn't hurt that Tim Tebow is, you know, probably a good-looking dude to the ladies. You know, he's the religious thing. I'm sure that all plays. He's a good boy. You know, doesn't do anything wrong. I'm sure that all plays into it. And especially in this NFL world,
college, man, you gotta love. Wonder what those nights were like. You're sitting around with Riley Cooper and Tim Tebow, college roommates.
Yeah, well, it was probably telling Riley to stop being such a racist.
Well, I mean, was it always like, did Riley just have Tim on speed dial to call him up whenever he was at a drunken party and needed a ride home?
Well, probably.
And Tim was just sitting around with his Bible waiting for the phone call?
Probably. Sounds about right. All I'm saying is, in the end of the day, Tim Tebow has the ability to do more on the actual field than someone else that will probably not see the field.
An actual play. Tim Tebow rolling out and a receiver running wide open by the goal line. He doesn't throw the ball to him. Instead, he decides to tuck it and run it, try to dive for the end zone to make some spectacular play, and comes up short of the goal line, and they end up having to kick a field goal. Now, again, it was a preseason game, but to me, that kind of illustrates the whole He didn't believe he could throw the ball to him.
He had a bad game. That's all it was. Listen, he may not have the typical ability, but he has ability. He may not be the fastest person, but he's quick. And what he does is He makes it another thing that the defenses have to worry about. Whether you like it or not, he is considered a weapon. Plain and simple. That is all Chip-like.
I'm just going to say, if I were a defensive coordinator, I would spend no time worrying about Tim Tebow.
Good. Good. You'll definitely not. If you have that philosophy, you won't be a defensive coordinator for long. You need to worry about everybody.
I completely disagree.
You need to worry about everybody. You don't ever underestimate anyone. And again, Tim Tebow can do things.
Okay, name something that Tim Tebow can do.
Seriously?
Yeah. What's he good at?
Are you really that blind? Are you really that hating on Tim Tebow to not know that he does have abilities and he can do things?
I'm asking you to point out something that he does well. How come whenever you ask that question, how come whenever anybody in any position asks that question, what's he good at, it always gets some kind of defensive reaction when those people are from the people who want to stand up for him?
I literally have no idea what you're talking about. I've never heard that.
Whenever any radio announcer on any other network or anything says he does ask someone to name something that Tim Tebow's good at, it immediately gets like a hostile reaction. And I want to know why that is. I feel like I'm asking a question.
Anybody who knows football understands that he does things. He may not pass the ball well. He may not do this well. He may not be a typical whatever. He's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. But the man has the ability to maneuver. He's shifty. He can get you a couple of yards. And he also, when necessary, he can throw the ball. Not very accurate. Maybe not very good. Maybe not every time. But don't sit here and tell me that he can't throw a ball. He can't.
Well, I understand he has the physical capability of throwing a football, but he doesn't throw it at an NFL level.
Really? I would rather have Tim Tebow than probably half the third string and fourth string quarterbacks that are out there right now.
Well, that's where you and I are just going to have to agree to disagree. Because honestly, if I look I'm not necessarily trying to get you
on my side, but don't sit here and tell me that the man doesn't do anything.
Oh, and I'm asking you to name what he can do.
And you haven't sufficiently answered that question. Four or five things. You're not listening.
I am listening. You said he's shifty. What does that even mean? He's shifty.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? Do you watch football?
Why can't you define this?
Do you watch football?
That's so hard.
Do you watch football?
Yes. I watch
football.
So
you know exactly what the hell I mean. Take off the blinders and understand, and know what I'm saying.
I have no blinders on. I watch the guy with an open mind. I asked you to do the same thing. That's not true at all. Well, I have no personal vendetta against Tim Tebow.
I'm not saying that you do. He's probably a really nice guy.
I mean, I don't, like, and I actually enjoyed him on commentary when he was doing, ESPN or wherever he was, where he was doing his kind.
Was it ESPN?
Yeah. I actually enjoyed it. I thought he was good at it. I still think he's good at it. You know, I don't have a personal problem against him. I'm just trying to break down the way he plays.
I just think you obviously have already made your mind up. You can't see the man has abilities and skills.
Well, I just don't think he has enough of them to be a contributor.
I completely disagree.
I wanted to get on the air today, and I wanted to talk about how excited I was by this team. I wanted to talk about Sam Bradford going 10 for 10 for 121 yards, having four touchdown drives in his preseason this year. I did not want to get into the stupid Tim Tebow stuff.
So what you're saying is we should talk about Tim Tebow more?
You think he should be the third string quarterback? I don't. We'll see in a week.
I don't even necessarily think he needs. I think he could just be the fourth string quarterback. Keep Barkley.
Well, I don't think you should keep four quarterbacks. I just don't.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's not normal, but personally,
I think he's
going to do more.
If it wasn't for the fact that I really think this is a deep, deep roster, and I wouldn't want to keep four quarterbacks, regardless of whichever one you keep, over, you know, say, another running back, say, another receiver or linebacker or what have you, whatever you're taking away from. I just would rather not see them take away from that position to keep four quarterbacks.
I hear you. But think about how many people that are on the actual roster that don't actually see the field ever. Happens all the time, and there's a good amount. There's a good amount.
Yeah, you have some guys that you feel like can contribute, and most of those guys, the bottom of the roster guys, those are your special teams guys. Those are the guys out there trying to just make sure they.
You're right. There are some special teams guys. There are also some guys that don't even do special teams.
Well, to me, those guys are going to last in the league. If you can't play special teams, if you're a fourth or fifth receiver, or you know, tight end, or you better be able to play special teams.
I agree. But I'm just saying, they're going to contribute. Tebow, I think, will contribute more to this overall team in a more positive way than somebody at the end of the roster that won't see the field.
Okay, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it. I'm just saying I disagree.
I just don't understand how you even think that way with somebody who's not even going to do anything. What's the point of having somebody
if
he's not going to see the field?
We don't know which roster spot he's taking away if he is active each week. And see, I would say what your gamble should be is to not activate him, because the third-string quarterback is able to come in the fourth quarter, and you might be thinking then, okay, we're not going to be going for two until the fourth quarter. And so let's not have him active to play that, you know, to just roll the dice that way. That way you can still have the extra person on there. Or list him as your number two and just roll the dice that he's listed as number two. And then if you get the situation where if Sam Bradford were to go down early, just survive till you get to the fourth quarter and you can bring in Mark Sanchez.
Sure. Well,
see, I think that would be the better approach to do, because that's what they used to do with Coy Detmer when they just loved having him as the holder. So they listed him as the number two and just figured, oh, crap, if McNabb goes down, let's just don't kill us till we get to the fourth quarter.
Sure. But, listen, we have about, I don't know, 30 seconds or so. That really went quick.
Yeah, well, the spirited debate, I know, like, I hope it didn't come across as a personal problem between you and I, because that I looked at it.
Yeah, listen, jerk.
Yeah, asshole.
Sick of it. Anyway,
you're not my friend.
We will
anymore.
Stop on Tim Tebow. So we want to thank everybody for listening. We'll see you in the podcast for the Philly Mick.
I'm the Philly Hom. Bye, Tim Tebow.
We'll see you, Tim Tebow, next couple weeks.
So,
all right,
are we on live now?
We are on live now. That
what do you
great.
Think after my rant? You think Tim Tebow will be a guest on the show?
I do. I think he totally would.
Yeah, right? I can't see why.
Yeah, I'd totally back him up. I thought I got him. I'll totally throw you under the bus, though, and tell you.
Hey, I tell him everything that I said. I don't have a problem with saying it. Again, it's not a personal attack. I don't have a personal vendetta against Tim Tebow. If a guy, if I felt like he could play, I would tell you, yeah, I think he can play, and I think we should keep him. I haven't gotten that impression. And for what I've seen in the preseason games, I just don't get it. And I tried to score each game like a boxing match, okay? Between the two, all right? In game one of the preseason, I can't see how you wouldn't have scored it in favor of Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley clearly played better, and I think he was the best quarterback on the field that day for any team in game one of the preseason. Game two, look, I'll even give you that game two, you could maybe score a draw, even though that's where the play that I pointed out where Tim Tebow missed the open receiver coming across the field. But if you even wanted to score that one a draw, I don't think it is, but I can go along with it. Last night, I thought Barkley looked a little better than Tim Tebow. AJ made a few more mistakes, just didn't get it done. Neither guy scored. But so right now I in the three games I have at least Matt Barkley winning one, if not two. And I don't have Tim Tebow winning either of them.
Okay. So
I'm trying to be fair, and I'm trying to not, like, I don't want it to come across that I have some bias. And granted, have I ever really thought he could throw? No, I didn't. And I've been on the air, and I've been critical of him, saying that I didn't think he could play. But, I'm trying to, I'm leaving this bias aside, and I'm just trying to look at it as an observer. If I'm watching this team, and I want to see who I feel can make this roster and give the team the best chance to win if he has to play, I don't think it's Tim Tebow.
Well, there still is one. So, okay. So, say in the fourth game, Tim Tebow, let's just say Tim Tebow plays the whole second half.
Okay. That's fair.
And let's say Tim Tebow's numbers for the end of the half are, let's say, 60% completion. Two passing touchdowns, one rushing touchdown, and also rushes for, let's say, 40 yards.
Okay.
And let's say Barkley plays the whole first half except for, the first series that I'm sure Sanchez will probably play.
Yeah, since it's in New York, I think they'll give him a chance. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's say Matt Barkley is probably roughly around the same, 60% completion. Throws one touchdown, one pick, runs for 3 yards because he doesn't really run much.
You can take the rushing yards away. I wouldn't even consider them as important. But, okay, 3 yards rushing.
You don't think that's important, 40 versus 3?
Well, I'm saying Matt Barkley, you don't even have to credit him with any rushing yards. I'm saying that's not, something I'd
his
even,
rushing.
Like.
But he throws an INT. And let's say he loses a fumble. So he has two turnovers. Tim Tebow has none. Tim Tebow scores three total touchdowns. Matt Barkley scores one. But roughly around the same percentage-wise, where Tebow has probably, 50 more yards total than Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And he converts
to, one possession, being Sanchez in the first half instead of Barkley.
So, and let's
because,
just say...
Okay, go ahead.
What?
Say because, say Sanchez maybe takes off the time that Barkley maybe would have gotten an extra 50 yards. But, again, it's not important.
Okay. Now let's say Tim Tebow converts to 2-point conversions. Looks solid.
Mm-hmm.
Barkley doesn't necessarily look bad, but the two turnovers not great.
Looks like a third-string quarterback.
Right. And seeing that Tim Tebow can actually make some passes, move with his feet, get some first downs, drive the ball, score some touchdowns. What would you say after that?
Well, I'd have to watch the game some more.
Okay, obviously, let's just go with what we have for this scenario.
I'd see some certain things, whether or not he, Nate went through his progressions, did he always just go to the first receiver, and then if that was an open run, did he, did he sit in the pocket and let things develop? Was he getting rid of the football efficiently? I'd see those things. But if all those things were about where they should be,
let's just say that he does all those things above average.
Tim Tebow, and then they'd have a tough decision to make. I don't think that should discount the work that Matt Barkley has done in the other three games.
No, I agree. But let's just say Tim Tebow has such a good game, and going into the final cut decision, it's you know, let's say you give Matt Barkley an 80 rating, and you give Tebow like a 75, somewhere in there. So he's just underneath him, but right at the heels. What do you do then? Do you just simply say? What was that?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be close. It's a tough decision to make. Chip Kelly's got a tough choice because either way, he's going to have his critics on this one. He's going to have the people like me who think that you should go with the traditional quarterback because he's the guy that could run your offense if, you know, God forbid, you're in that spot. And then you'll have people who are the Tim Tebow fans who, you know, believe that because of the extra things that, you know, he supposedly can do, that those to mean that it's a tough spot because either way you're going to get a loud backlash from your fan base. So, I don't know. I mean, given the two choices, if it's that close and then Tim Tebow has a better day, and then I'd still probably then score them around the same, all things being equal, you're not going to like this answer, but I'd probably just then go back to my whole, well, I feel like Matt Barkley's a more polished quarterback.
Okay, now does the fact that that they're actively looking to trade Matt Barkley say anything about Chip Kelly's thoughts on Barkley and this system?
Well, I think he obviously knows that he could get more for Matt Barkley than he ever could Tim Tebow.
Well, obviously understandable, but
Barkley would be the more traditional quarterback and the one that the teams would be more comfortable having on their roster. But then I think he feels like, hey, look, if I could make that trade, then I don't have to make that decision. I can just say, hey, we got some compensation for Matt Barkley, and so now we've got our three quarterbacks.
So, but yeah, but doesn't that say a lot about Chip's, you know, thinking that, all right, you know what, Barkley is a fine quarterback. I just don't necessarily think he's the right quarterback for this system.
See, I think what it says is he really wants to find a way to keep Tim Tebow, and he just knows he'd have a real hard time justifying that to the fan base that he cut, you know, Matt Barkley, who has done very well in the preseason, and, you know, I mean, keeping a guy like Tim Tebow over him, I think he knows he'd have a hard time selling that, whereas if he comes back and says, well, I traded, I got compensation for Matt Barkley, you know, that's obviously a lot easier to sell.
Okay. But what about the fact that Chip Kelly is trying to do what he can to keep Tim Tebow on this roster? Doesn't that say a lot about what Chip feels, how he can use Tim Tebow, and how he can help this team?
Well, sure. He thinks that Tim Tebow, like, that's why he put Tim Tebow out there for those two-point conversion tries. He wanted to get him practice in it because he'd like to, in an ideal world, but he'd like to be able to do that at some point. But I think, again, I think the reason he's doing that is because I still think he knows he would have a tough time coming back to the fan base and selling us on Tim Tebow as the third quarterback and instead of Matt Barkley, who, but I feel like there are a lot of people out there who would feel the same way. I know that Tim Tebow has his following, but I think there are plenty of those out there that would feel the way I do, that Matt Barkley is a better quarterback and that's who you should be keeping.
So if Chip Kelly
cuts Matt Barkley and keeps Tim Tebow, I will be discouraged. I will disagree with his assessment.
But are you going to be pissed?
I'm not going to get pissed over a third-string quarterback. I would just disagree.
So
I know we had a
heated
discussion, but
you don't have – you're not in the type of person that has – the utmost positivity and or the utmost confidence in what Chip Kelly does.
I always look at things with a reserve. Let's, like, I'm not going to be one of those, you know, buy, like, drinking the Kool-Aid, whatever Chip says that works. I'm always going to have, you know, I always look at things through the perspective, you know, I'm my own person. I'm not going to just follow along. Look, has Chip made decisions that I haven't agreed with that have turned out to be better, that turned out to be a good decision? Sure. And I'll be the first to acknowledge that.
Yeah, he's probably had a bunch of them.
I also think there are ones that I still feel like I was right on.
Like?
Like cutting DeSean Jackson for nothing. I think that was a stupid move. And I think it hurt us last year. Like cutting Evan Mathis for nothing. I mean, again, he's somebody who is a serviceable offensive lineman who's willing to come and play. I think Chip didn't like that, you know, Evan Mathis was whining about a new contract and didn't come to the optional team workouts. And so he cut him. I still disagree with that, with those two moves.
You really still disagree about DeSean?
Yeah, well, I always
if he would have
I'm
gotten
I'm not
going to
go running around yelling
you would be
mad all the time, but I always thought it was a bad move.
So, okay, so if Chip had gotten like a fourth round pick for him, would you be all right then?
I'd be less angry about it. The thing is, you got rid of, you know, how many Pro Bowlers have we gotten rid of with little to no compensation?
Yeah, now I'll agree with you. Yes, he probably could have done it a different way, but I think that's not really necessarily the point.
Well,
I think
the to me, that is the point.
That's the thing. That's unfortunately all that people see. I think there is a whole heck of a lot more to all of this. I think that Chip Kelly has a certain way he likes to do things, obviously.
And look, if you're going to – every coach, from the minute they get hired, is on the clock about getting fired. And if you're going to get fired anyway, do it your way. So he doesn't have to agree with everything I say. He certainly doesn't. But I'm also going to be the type
He doesn't listen word for word to everything you say?
He probably should, but you know, he does.
Oh, my God. This team would be in shambles right now. I just think
Well, I know
he
we're
saw...
about to get cut off, so I'll let you go.
Yeah, crap. Oh, yeah. So let's end it here anyway before we do get cut off. Maybe next time we'll actually talk about the game.
Yeah, instead of a heated Tim Tebow discussion.
Hey, it was entertaining. Let's give it that.
I'm sure it was entertaining for people listening.
Maybe later on this week we'll have another episode. Given my schedule seems to be a little bit more open during the night. Anyway, we will see you guys next week. Let's go Birds. 4-0 in the preseason would be a great thing to end for next week. And let's hope Chip makes the right decision.